Okay, so I actually mentioned this quickly before, so I figured it's a good thing to play out. It's a relatively easy sugyan. Since you're all tired, we will go through it. What I want to do is analyze the uniqueness of Esrog, of Arba Minim, in light of the general obligation that we have for Hidr Mitzvah. So what is the chiyuv of Hidr Mitzvah in general?
Should be pretty.
Good, right? That you should make mitzvahs beautiful. Where do we derive it from? Very good. Very good. It's the Gemara in Shabbos Kufum Gimel, where the Brisa cites, right? There's number 10, Titania. Ze Eli ve'anvehu. This is my God and I will. So what does that word mean?
Beautify.
So one possibility is that the Gemara is taking is that it means beautify. From what Shoresh? Right, or Noi, right? Like Noi, like the Noye Sukkah, the decorations of the Sukkah. Right, exactly. Now, what else might it mean?
Please.
So,
like, please your God.
So, what is nun ve vav hey? What is a nave?
Like a prophet.
No, that's a navi, and with a vet. What's with a vav? Nave is a house, a home.
Nave.
Right? So, yes, exactly. Right? So, another way of interpreting this is I will
build you a home.
Yes, build you a home. Therefore, the other drush in Chazal is Vanveyu means I will build a Beit HaMikdash. Right? I will make a Naveh for you. Right? I will in-house you. I don't know what that word is in English. Right? I will
for the Shekhinah.
But for Hidr Mitzvah, the drasha is Hitna'e Lifanav Mimitzvot. Right? Make yourself beautiful in front of him in mitzvot.
Can you just mean both?
What?
Can you just mean both?
Yeah, it can mean both. But this is the anyway, and this is the source. Asei lefanav sukana'e. I mean, it gets into slight problems of whether you can derive two things from one pasuk, but that's a broader discussion. Make a beautiful sukkah. Vilulav na'e, shofar na'e, tzitzit na'e, sefer Torah na'e. Right? All those things. Right? Nice sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, sefer Torah. V'chatuv bo lishmo b'dio na'e. Write it for red lishma, which will get to it hopefully at some point, with nice ink, with a good quill, bilavlar, uman, v'karchobashirayin na'in, right? An expert sofer, all of my soferim, all my expert soferim, and sew it nicely, right? Good. So there is always a mitzvah in kol hadar kula of hidur mitzvah.
Well, this is lulav, but it doesn't mention Esrog.
Oh, good, good. Hold the thought, okay? It mentions lulav, it doesn't mention Esrog. Now, by Esrog, the possibility exists that the obligation to make it beautiful is distinct from the general obligation of Hidr Mitzvah. So, what is the source in the Torah for taking the Arba Minim? Good, you want to read it?
Sure. Lekachtem lechem, to take for you. Bayam Arishon, on the first day, pre Eitz Hadar, the Esrog fruit. Kapot to Marim, you weren't sure we said the Hadassim?
No.
Lulav,
thank you. The leaves of the date palm. Date fronds, I think. Palm fronds.
The Anaf Eitz Avot.
That's a Hadassim.
The Hadassim, the Arvei Nahal, and the Aravot. Smachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem, Shiva Simeon. Happy in
good. Now, the question in the Rishonim hangs on this magical word for Esrog. Because where does the Torah ever say you have to take an Esrog?
Never.
It says you have to take a pre-Eitz Hadar. Right?
It's a beautiful fruit,
which we understand to mean in Esrog. Now, what is the relationship between an Esrog and this quality that the Torah describes it with of hadar?
It has an appealing view and it has a nice smell.
So, but what is it? What is the relationship between that word and esrog? There are two fundamentally different ways you could go. One is that it is definition, right? It's a descriptor. What do you mean by descriptor? Let's be very careful.
These words describe in Etrog specifically.
Meaning definitional.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning one possibility is that Hadar means that it is the definition of an Esrog. Right?
One is that an Esrog falls under this category of
Now the other one is that, well, that's right, meaning there are definitional elements.
One is like the definition of esrog is hanar.
Right.
Or one is that esrog is in this category of hanar.
Meaning what?
Of beautiful foods. Like,
well, let's tell you the other exclusive. Way is that
it's not exclusive to esrog itself.
Oh, okay. The other possibility is that, right, it's not about definition, it's that esrog has a quality, right? It's not that it defines it, it is, right, a quality of. Right? Now, okay. So let us analyze this through the vantage point of the question of the dry lulav and the dry esrog, okay? So the Mishnah in Sukkah tells us that lulav ha-gazul v'ayavesh, right? Yeah, I know that helps very much. Close the door, but the window, there are no walls. Very, very, very good.
Do as much as possible.
Yeah, great. So, lulei, there is like a lot of guys sick and then a end of Zman lethargy. So I'm just having shiur with my guys, but like a bunch of people are sick. Like Cap 49 apparently is sick. And
they're being punished. You're 49, right? Punished.
I am.
For what happened to Shimon. It's God's retribution.
It's pre-Yom Kippur. God is giving them Yisurim.
Right.
Yisurim.
Very unfortunate.
What happened to you is you're a good guy, but the other ones?
I'll
let them know.
Hey, what happened?
There's a lot of people say, but then you'll see there's like a lethargy. So, anyways, okay. So, lulav hagazul v'hayavesh pasul. If you have a stolen lulav, which is a fascinating sugya in and of itself, which is mitzvah b'avera.
It says it will kachtam
lachem. Well, no, there's two problems. One is not lachem; it's also mitzvah b'avera. I don't want to talk, but that's a huge sugya. Mitzvah b'avera, meaning
right.
After you steal something, it may be yours, but
we kind of brought that up
in the vayavesh, or if you have a dried out lulav, pasul, etrog gozul vayavesh, pasul.
Makes sense.
Okay. So now if I asked you from the Mishnah, well, just simple here. Is a dried out lulav, how pasul is it? Or dried out esrog, how pasul is it?
Pasul.
Pasul, what does pasul mean?
Can't use
you
it.
Can't good, you can't use it. What if you have nothing else?
That's only in the first
day. Too bad, right?
It's only in the first day.
So some of the psulim of lulav and esrog are only on the first day. Some of them are for the entire time. Correct. Certain halachot are only the first day. Certain are not. Good.
The thing with esrog, so, you can like eat it after the first day, right? Or somebody holds that.
There are different... Again, there are different... We can't go into every psul, but certain psulim of lulav and esrog apply the whole time, and certain ones... No, lachem only applies on the first day. Correct, right? Certain other ones do not. Okay, but let's analyze this Gemara for a moment. So the Gemara then tells this halacha. Who wants to read this nice long passage in the Gemara?
Oh, I'll read it.
Yeah, go.
Hatnan, where we learn Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Yaginu. Oh no, wait.
Yavesh pasul.
Wait. Oh yeah, sorry.
Tana, yavesh pasul.
Yavesh pasul. If it's dried out, it's pasul. Rabbi Huda machshir. Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. Amar Rava. Rava says machlokes belolov. As machlokes belolov. Derbanat. Sorry, the rabbis hold machshinen lolov laesrogma.
My esrog by hadar.
Are they saying like lulav is like esrog?
Right, we compare halachically, right. Meaning,
yeah.
Right, we equate halachically lulav to esrog.
Esrog by hadar, esrog has to be pretty. Af lulav by hadar, and lulav doesn't have to be pretty.
Good. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, well, you know, let's just read the next line.
Rabbi Yehuda savar lo makshin lulav by esrog. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold. Doesn't compare lulav to esrog. Avo ba esrog divrei hakol hadar b'inan. Esrog has to be pretty the whole time.
Good. Everyone agrees that it needs to be hadar. Okay. So now let me ask you the question. Right. It's clear. What's absolutely clear is that hadar helps us define esrog. But the second question is hadar also a quality of the esrog? What do the Chachamim clearly think? Is Hadar not just the way that we happen to figure out the definition of Esrog, but is it also a quality of Esrog?
Yes.
Yes, how do I know?
They say Esrog by Hadar. Oh,
No. How do I know? According to the Chachamim.
Oh, because they say they learn it out from...
Correct. Meaning, if it was only the definition, meaning, Hadar tells us that it's a beautiful fruit, but not that it actually has to be beautiful, it's just, it's the fruit that's normally beautiful, it gives it its definition. Right? But it's not also a quality that must, that the Esrog must possess. A quality, could you compare it to Lulav? No! If it was just about the definition, if it was just the way in which we figure out what the Esrog is, meaning it's that thing which is normally Hadar,
right,
but it's not a quality that the Esrog must have in addition, then you can't share it with Lulav, right? You can't share a definition.
Because Lulav has to have both?
No, because you can't share definitions.
Why not?
Because the Lulav isn't a pre-Eitz Hadar. It's just not, right? To share Hadar from Esrog to Lulav means that in addition to it defining the Esrog, it is a necessary quality, which theoretically can therefore be shared. Right? Right? Meaning, I'll give you an example, right? When you read the back of a bottle of wine, right? It will say, it has light hints of citrus, right? Right? Light hints of citrus. Now, what does it mean? When it says it has light hints of citrus, does it mean, right? If by citrus you mean the definition, this fruit is an orange or a lemon or a whatever, does the wine have hints of citrus?
Yeah.
No! Because there's no orange in it. Right? How can they justify saying it's citrus? What do they mean?
Citrus.
Right, meaning in addition to the definition, is this or is this not an orange, right, or a lemon or any other citrus fruit, there's a second thing, there's a quality called being citrusy, right? So an orange is citrusy in two ways. It is both actually a member of the group called citrus fruit, like definitional, and it also has a taste which is generally associated with the citrus family. The definition cannot be shared with a grape. Right? A grape is not a citrus fruit. Wine is not a citrus fruit. Right? But the quality of citrusness can be shared. Right? This can taste like an orange, even if it's not definitionally an orange. So now come back to Esrog. If you think Hadar is the way that we define the fruit, and that's it, then what fruits does it apply to?
Just
Esrogim. That's it. It is not a quality. And therefore cannot be shared.
Right. If it's just
but if it is also a quality...
Then you can shake a pomegranate and have that.
Right? Then you can say that a pomegranate can have hadarness, even though it is not a pre-eight hadar. Right? It is not citrus, but it shares light overtones or undertones or got hints of cotton candy. I don't know.
Can I hold like a Buddha who says it's not... It's just a quality and just bring a pomegranate?
No, because it's clearly... So now you go to the flip question. Is it only a quality? And the answer is no. It's clearly not only a quality. It's also definitional, right?
Well, if it's definitional, then it's not a quality.
No. I just said.
You can't say it's a quality and then call it definitional to a
fruit. Not true. Citrus. It is both definitional to an orange and a quality that the orange has. And you can share the quality, but you can't share the definition.
So how can you... But then you're still learning it out from... Oh, because you're not learning it out from lulav, because it itself is...
Right? If you want to learn out Lula from it, it has to be that shareable quality. It can't be the definition.
Right?
Right? The wine is not orange juice. Right? Right? That maybe that's sharper, right? The wine is not orange juice. But it may have hints of citrus. Because the citrus quality of the orange is twofold. One is that it's definitionally a citrus fruit. Right? Right? Therefore, if you have a citrus fruit that goes bad and therefore tastes like mold, right? Is it still a citrus fruit?
Yes.
Does it taste citrusy? No, right? Meaning it can go in either direction.
Right?
Something can have, right? Or artificial flavoring. Right? Oh, I have orange ice cream. Right? It has 0% orange in it. Right? It is citrus flavored. Right? Okay. So the Rabbanan hold clearly that the quality of Hadar is not only definitional, it is also a quality that can therefore be shared. Rabbi Yehuda, who says Lomach in Lulav Esrog, right?
Says it's exactly.
So So he, it's unclear, he either thinks it is equality, but equality which is not shareable, or he thinks that it's only definitional, and therefore it stays with Esrog, and that's it. But what's the problem? Why would I want to say that it, for Yehuda, it's not only definitional, but it's an unshareable quality? Why might I think that that's what Yehuda means?
Because he explains that it has to happen all the time.
Good! Because if Hadar was only a definition, then it would, then would a rotted orange, a rotted esrog be good?
No.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It has to be, yeah.
Right? And that's why I would say, right, it sounds like that for the Chachamim, Hadar is definitional and a quality and a shareable quality. For the Rebbe Yehuda, there's also two components, which is, it defines the fruit, right? That's why you can't bring a pomegranate. But it also, the fact that we define the esrog as a pre eitz hadar also means that it has essential qualities, namely that it must maintain its hadarness, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is invalid. But those are both localized. So the Gemara says, uvelulav lo vayhadar, right? So continue. Actually, you know what? Before you move on. Now, how do I know for sure that hadar is not only a quality and is also definitional? Right? I've taken that as a given. Why do I know that? How do I know that it's also definitional?
Because if you read the pasuk, that's just what it sounds like.
Well, put it differently, because the pasuk calls it pre-eitz hadar, and that's all the information it gives it, and we have to get from that to an esrog and not a pomegranate, which means that it is at least definitional. Right? Because somehow we get from the word pre-eitz hadar to esrog.
Right, but you can still say it's qualitative.
So look at, now, it also happens to be that I have a Gemara. The Gemara is number 11. This is the Gemara in Lamed Hey. If you want to turn to Lamed Hey, you can look at it, or you can look at what I put here. Right? Because the Gemara is going to go through this exercise that we just did, which is Tana Rabbana, pre-Eitz Hadar. What is a pre-Eitz Hadar? You can look at it in 11. Pre-Eitz Hadar. Eitz Shetam Upirio Shaveh. The tree that what? The bark and the fruit have an equivalent taste. Meaning there's a citrusy taste to the bark itself. Have the Omer Zeh Esrog, which is, by the way, true. That not only of Esrog happens to be, it happens to be that there is a citrusy taste to the bark. Right? Bark can have taste. Give me an example. Thank you. Right. I was good. Right? I was about to say, prove to me that bark can have a taste, and his answer was cinnamon. He's correct. Right?
Maple tree and bark.
No, it's not bark. It's that's the sap.
I know, but the bark also. Oh no, that's the sap in the bark.
Yes, but by cinnamon, it's right. It very, the taste is only in the bark. Right? But by citrus, is actually true. Yes. Okay. So the Gemara says, now from this line of the Gemara, does it sound like pre-eitz hadar is a definition or a quality, a set of things that contain hadarness?
A set.
No, the first line. Heve omer zeh etrog. It is definitional. What's the immediate question going to be in the Gemara? You can predict it, which is, how do you know it's a definition? Maybe it's a quality that can therefore include other things. And the Gemara says, ve'ema pilpulin. Maybe it's pepper, because pepper, every part of the pepper
is the same.
Is hot, right? A little bit more hot, a little bit less hot. Pepper, everything.
Even the brain.
Like correct. The correct. Sis kiditanya hayirim meir omer mimasher shnemar unetatem kol etin yedishu etz machal matam lomer etz machal etz shetam etzo kiryo shaveh omer ze pilpulin. Right. That peppers also have this quality. So the Gemara then answers, Rebbe Omer, al tikri hadar ella hadir. Don't read hadar ella hadir. What is hadir?
The door.
What?
The door.
What is hadir?
Apartment.
Okay, good. So what does that mean?
It's a definition.
Let me find it for you here.
Definition. Not a specific thing.
Yeah, good. Now where is it? Lamedei.
I'm
going to
come and show
Fine.
Paint it like greenish yellow.
Yeah.
Here, hadir. I cut off some of it, right? Ma dir ze yesh bo gdolim uktanim tmimim ba'amim. So dir is a living place, but in this case, in Hebrew, what is it? It refers to something specific. A living place for animals. It's a pen. And he says, what is a pen? A pen has big and small, right? Baby animals, big animals. Do most trees have big fruit and small fruit?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
they all grow at the same time, so they are small, but not by significant amounts. What's the exception? In Esrog, why? Because they stay on for years. Right? They don't fall. It's not perennial. Good, so it's not the only one. So then the Gemara says, right, right, and what we define is, therefore, it is that fruit which has big and small ones on the tree at the same time. So then Rabbi Yehovah, Al Tikri Hadar, Ella, right, Dar, Adabar, Shadar, Be'ilano, Mishana, Lashana. It's something that stays on the tree from year to year. Benazai Omer, and Benazai then it gives another one, Al Tikri Hadar, Ella, Idur, Hidur, Shekin, Lashon, Yavani, Karin, Limayim, Idur, the Ezri Shigadal, call Mayim, and they omar Zetrog. It says, alternatively, it comes from the Greek, which means water, because it, right, it has a different way it has a different way of drawing water, it lives on call Mayim. Okay?
What?
I'll call Mayim. Right, it grows with any water, meaning all the time.
Any trees?
No.
Specific water to water trees.
Well, some are, meaning it doesn't grow at all times of the year, right? Esrog just keeps any water, it just keeps growing.
Oh, grows all year round.
Right.
Avocado trees are
no.
I have no idea.
Depends on the climate.
No, so in their climate, most trees are perennial, right? They grow at certain times, whatever. Anyways.
Then that sort of tree does not.
But, no, but
if you,
okay.
If you put a
guys,
tree in like a good climate, it'll go the whole year, no matter what tree.
Not true.
You're saying you can grow an Esrog tree in Canada.
What? No, that's not what I said. Right? It needs good climate, but even something in its climate, it has seasons. Right? Esrog doesn't have a season. It'll grow at any time, no matter how much. Right? It just. And it needs more. Anyways. Second. Then the next. Amor. Okay, but from this Gemara, at any rate, right, without getting too much caught up in each detail, what is it clear in this Gemara? In this Gemara, is Hadar a definition or a quality?
Definition.
It's a definition, right? It's looking, right, so Hadar is definitely at least a definition, or the Ramban is even clearer in 12. Ki ha'ilan ha'nikra b'lashon aramit etrog nikra shmo b'lashon ha'kodesh Hadar. He just says, the pshat is, not like the Gemara, the Ramban says, the pshat is, that this is all asmachdas. What's the real pshat according to the Ramban? That Hadar in Hebrew just means Esrog. You just didn't know that. Right? The Pri Etzadam means Esrog. Right? Ki Perish Etrog Chemda. So it's clear that Esrog at least means, I mean Hadar rather, means
Esrog.
The question is, does it also have a quality? And is that quality like shareable the way that, you know, citrus overtones, undertones, whatever are for wine? I'm giving that as an example. Okay, cotton candy, okay?
Does it have to be, like...
I mean, lahalacha, yes, it's an
Esrog. Does the Esrog have to be in the citrus?
Lahalacha, it's an Esrog. Right, yes.
Okay.
Right, because it has all these different qualities. Okay, go.
Dang it, I can't shake it up.
So now, going back to the Gemara we started with, the number three. So the Gemara says about Tanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yagdenu... Wait, so, oh, sorry. Vululav lo bayir Rabbi Yehuda Hadar. Does Rabbi Yehuda not think you need Hadar? But Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yagdenu milemala. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to tie. Put that away. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to tie it, the lulav at the top. My time alav mishum deboy hadar. Doesn't that prove that you need hadar? So he says lo. Tiktani time. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum b'vitarpon kapot marim. Kapot v'maya parud yachtefenu. No, it has to be kapot marim, right? Like a right. And if it spreads out, it's not a kapot marim. It's not like a right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So he keeps going back. Velo bayadar does not need beauty. Vatanan in ogden lulav el bimino. You're only allowed to wrap a lulav with its species. Divrei Yehuda. My taima la mishum de bayadar isn't because you need hadar. Right? That's why you have to wrap it. Lo, damarava, feel basiva, feel baker, the dikla. No, you could wrap with anything. Fine. Vel, my time is Yehuda Hassan, because some Lulav Tzarech Echad. So why does he need to wrap it? A different halacha, because he needs you to wrap it. Fine. And then the Gemara says, Uve Esrog mi bai Rabbi Yehuda Hadar? Do you need Hadar by Esrog? Now that's a shocking question. Why is that a shocking question?
So
what's the Gemara asking? Maybe Hadar is only a definition and not a quality at all, meaning like the rotted orange, which is citrus, even if not citrusy. The Gemara, now its next question is, does Rabbi Yehuda think you need Hadar even by Esrog? Right, so there, what's it clearly saying? Maybe Hadar is only a definition and not a quality at all.
If it's asking you need it, it's
no. No, right, it's only a quality. No, sorry, it's only a definition and not a quality.
If it's asking if you need it...
It's clearly a definition because an esrog is pre-hadar.
Why would that be a definition if you're asking if you need it?
The same way a citrus fruit can be non-citrusy. Is an orange definitionally citrus?
Yes.
Yes, what if it's moldy and doesn't taste citrusy?
Still a citrus.
It's citrus without a quality. It's definitional but not qualitative, right? No quality of citrus, even though it is objectively definitionally citrus. So the Gemara says, maybe Rehuda only needs an esrog to be definitionally an esrog, but not esrog-y. Right, you can have a non-esrogy esrog, just give non-orangey orange, right?
Like a dried esrog.
Oh, that's what Gemara says.
So it doesn't need that quality.
So then the Gemara says, "Vatanya, arba minin shebelulav, you can't add, you can't subtract. Lo matzeh troglo yavi lo parish lo rimon velo davar acher, right? You can't bring a different fruit." Right? You can't bring a rimon, a pomegranate, but kmushin ksherini veshim psulin. Rehuda omer, afi veshin. Right? But if it's dried out, it is invalid. But Rehuda says it is valid. So now the Gemara suggests an even more radical thing, which is maybe it is only definitional and not a quality at all. Not one that can be shared, not even one that it needs.
It's such a money saver.
Right? So the Gemara says, and how does the Gemara know that you can have a dried out esrog? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'aseh v'nei Krachin." There was a story, Shayu Morishin et Lulavein v'neihen. They would bequeath their lulavs to their children and their children's children. But clearly, they were dry. It wasn't like matzah that stayed fresh for two generations, right? Right. So exactly. So Amru lo misham raya. He says that's not a proof. Yeah. He said, that's not a proof. Ein shasat chak raya. That was a shasat chak. They didn't have other lulav, so you do things which are, right? So, k'tani miyas, Yehuda omer afi veshin k'shirin. My lava esro. So he says, Yehuda says you can have a dry lulav, a dry arbaminim. Doesn't that include esro? And the Gemara answers?
No,
only lulav.
Wait, we have this story that they've...
So the Gemara says, no, that was about the lulav, not the esrog.
So you can have dry lulav.
B'shas atchak. Why? Good question. It's really sugya for another time. Okay, now the Gemara keeps going like this. But now what I want to point out is the following. Right? It is clear from the Gemara on Lamed Hey that Hadar is at least...
quality.
No, it's at least definitional. It's like saying an orange is a citrus fruit. Right? The second question is... is it also a quality? Right? Yeah. And this in different ways.
Yeah, but if it's
shareable quality? Who thinks it's a shareable quality? Meaning, like just like you can have a citrus wine, you can have a citrus, right? You can have a hadar lulav. Who thinks that?
Mishnah Berurah.
The chachamim. Right? The chachamim. And that's why they say that hadar applies to...
Sefer Torah.
Both. Everything.
To lulav.
Oh, come on.
And according to Yehuda, the Gemara has two possibilities. One is that it's a quality, meaning an esrog must be both a esrog and esrogi, just like an orange must be
orange.
Citrus and citrusy, right? Meaning a moldy orange would not qualify, right? It is citrus, but it's not citrusy. So possibility one is that Yehuda just says it is both a definition and a quality.
That's not true.
Right? And then the Gemara is a Havamina, which it rejects, which is maybe it's only a definition and not a quality, and therefore you could have a dried out esrog. But the Gemara rejects it. So according to the Gemara's Maskana, it seems like that according to Rehuda.
They said it's a lulav, but it's clearly talking about an esrog.
No, it says lulav, and therefore the
Chacham.
It says lulav. And the Gemara says, isn't it also about esrog? The Gemara says, no, it's only about lulav.
Well, the Chachamim say that lulav is...
So l'maskana, it sounds like in the Gemara, according to the Chachamim, the simplest way, according to the Chachamim, hadar is a definition in esrog and a quality which is shareable. Right? An orange is citrus, and the wine is citrus overtones.
So you could have...
And therefore, lulav needs hadar. According to Yehuda, it has two possibilities. One, which is it's only definitional, and therefore it's a dry esrog kasher.
Yes,
because it's only definitional and not a quality. But the Gemara rejects it and says no. For Yehuda, it is...
Quality
and definitional, but is it shareable?
No.
So would Rabbi Yehuda agree that wine can have citrus overtones?
Yeah.
No, right? Or can fine? Can wine have esrog overtones? No. Right?
Shake wine.
Lahav deal. Right? Now, no one tell me that I. No, right?
I still think I'm coming with an avocado because it shares the same qualities of an esrog.
The good child.
And it grows all good.
And who comes in to answer your question?
It doesn't smell.
The Ramban, who says, no, these are all asmachtas. The real rule is that esrog means hadar mitzvah.
So I don't like the Ramban. I'm sorry.
You don't like the Ramban?
Ramban.
Okay. But now if I asked you, okay, with everything we've just seen, now that I asked you, okay, I know this is a bit complicated, but here, this was just careful reading of the Gemara, conceptual reading of the Gemara. But now if I asked you, okay, let me push you a little bit farther here. These beautiful qualities, whether you think they're shareable like the Chachamim, or you think they are not shareable like Rabbi Yehuda, do you think that this quality of Hadar is unique to Arba Minim, or this is a universal quality of Hidur, which is shared by all mitzvah? What would you guess?
It's all. Because we have the mitzvah. We have the mitzvah of Hadar. Well, just specifically the Arba Minim.
Good. Simple shot is that this is local to the Arba Minim. Why? Prove it to me.
Because it doesn't mention it by all mitzvahs. It all just say...
Because the Gemara clearly seems to think that what? What does the Gemara clearly seem to think?
That
whatever Hadar is... It is a more demanding standard than regular Hidur mitzvah. Hence, you have a local machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, of how demanding is this going to be on the lulav that I buy, the esrog that I buy. But clearly, right, this is not about the regular run-of-the-mill Hidur mitzvah. This is, whatever standard it is, it sounds like, the fact that the Torah chooses to describe esrog, which may only mean esrog, Rabbi Yehuda, or may then be extrapolated to all Arba Minim, that quality is, right, the fact that the Torah goes through, uses the word hadar to describe esrog, teaches us that there is a more demanding standard than regular Hedder mitzvah for esrog, and maybe for lulav also.
But there's other mitzvahs that have hadar too as well.
They don't have hadar, they have run-of-the-mill hidr.
So there's this run-of-the-mill hinder, and then there's extra performance.
Good. What's the nafkamina? Tell me the nafkamina.
Well, I mean, if it's...
What's the nafkamina between... Why would I tell you... Or you'll tell me this just semantics. No, what's the nafkamina? There's a major nafkamina. What's the major nafkamina? Come on. What's the difference between saying that this principle here is run-of-the-mill hinder mitzvah versus a unique quality called hadar, which applies only to esrog or to esrog and arba minim because we extrapolate it?
Then we wouldn't just be talking about.
What's the nafkamina?
No.
Yes, you do. Because we already said it. Is it ma'akev? Right? If you choose to not have a beautiful matzah, you just have a matzah, which is kosher, are you yotze?
Yes.
If you have a non-hadar lul esrog, are you yotze?
No.
If you have a dried esrog, you're not yotze. Why? According to the Gemara.
It has to be...
Because ma'akev, what does that tell you? That the fact that whatever this hadar quality is, it's not run-of-the-mill beautification. It is definitional and essential. Right? To the extent that it is a quality, it is an essential quality. Right? Not right. Therefore, if it's an essential quality, does that make sense for it to be merely hadar hidur, which everywhere else is not ma'akev? No. The answer to that is no. Good. There is a problem, because who denies all of this? Who says what? No. The answer is Rashi. Good. Look at number 8. Rashi says, Yavesh! Why are dry lulav and esrog invalid? Read it. Someone read it to me. Ve'anvehu. Oyvei. What does Rashi do? Rashi takes the entire analysis I tried to build up here and throws in the garbage. And he says, you know why? It's puzzle to have a dried out lulav and esrog. Ve'anvehu. What's that? Ve'anvehu?
Beautiful.
The run of the mill. Chiyuv of hiddur mitzvah. Not because of the simple pshat in the Gemara, which is hadar.
Wait, so but if it's the run of the mill, then you could use it dried. That's right.
Oh, but no, but it's not. It's ma'akev.
Rashi just.
I mean, what's the problem? Who asked that question? Who just says? Thank you, Tosfos. Read Tosfos number 4.
Mishim de itka shmulav la'etrog dichtiv be hadar velo.
But the Tosfos says, why is a lulav hayavesh invalid?
Because it says hadar.
Because it shares that essential quality of hadar with esrog, meaning this is a unique halacha, therefore it is ma'akev. Velo.
Velo kama shapira shakontras mishim dichtiv zakrili van vehu. De in van vehu alal chakrila. Velo mi paso bahachi demuchachach be parakama.
Right? He says, so what does Tosfos jump in and say?
That Van Vehu is only Lechatchila.
Yeah, what are you talking about? The beauty of Lulav and Esrog are unique to Lulav and Esrog.
So if you have a dried, so if your Esrog got destroyed and you only have a dried Esrog, according to this, you would be
allowed
to. No! Lechatchila. Oh no, Lechatchila is
over. Right? Right?
I got the
right? And therefore Tosfos says, Rashi's crazy. Mapitone! Right? And where does he... And he proves it. Where does he prove it from? He proves it from number 7. In number 7, the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph says, Man azlaha detanya lulav mitzvah l'agdo v'imlo agdo kasher. Who holds that you should wrap your lulav, but you don't have to? Right? If you don't wrap it, it's kasher. E Rabbi Yehuda kilo agdo amai kasher. Right, Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's ma'akev. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that if you don't tie the lulav and the hadas and the rabbis together, it's not kosher. So the Gemara says it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. And e rabbanan amai mitzvah. According to rabbanan, you don't have to wrap your lulav with the hadas and the rabbis. So why should you do it? Right, you don't have to. So why should you do it at all? So what does the Gemara say? Lo'olam rabbanan. The rabbanan think you should wrap your lulav with hadas and the rabbis. So why should you wrap them if it's not ma'akev? Read the next line. Good. So what does Tosfos point to that Gemara? What does the Gemara say explicitly? According to Rabbi Yehuda, is igud, is wrapping the lulav definitional?
Yes.
Yes. So if you don't do it, are you yotze?
No.
No. According to the Chachamim, is it ma'akev?
No.
No. So why should you do it at all? Hiddur mitzvah, and the Gemara says explicitly, if it's only hiddur mitzvah, not definitional, is it ma'akev?
No.
No. So Tosfos says, what is Rashi talking about? Right? Meaning, Tosfos is a perfectly beautiful way of reading our Gemara, which is, we know from Daf Lamed Hey that hiddur is at least definition. We learn on Daf Lamed Aleph that the fact that the Torah calls an Esrog Hadar teaches us that in addition to it defining the Esrog, it teaches us that it is an essential quality. Essential. Right? Not additional, but essential. Therefore, and then you have a Mechlokes Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, whether that essential quality only qualifies Esrog itself, or is extrapolated to the Arba Minim. But what's clear according to Yehuda? So according to Chachamim, according to Tosfos, within the Chachamim, that anything which is ma'akev must be a localized Esrog to lulav halacha called hadar, because anything that's merely regular hiddur mitzvah, which is derived from Ze'eli ve'anvehu, is lechatchila, but not B'di'evet. Right? That's Tosfos' beautiful analysis of the sukkah. That there's three things. There's definition, there's essential qualities, and then there is lechatchila b'di'evet hidur mitzvah. Which fruit is defined by the word hadar?
Etrog.
Which of the arba minim have the essential quality of hadar? According to Tosfos? Come on. You can do this. Esrog according to everybody, and Lulav according to Chachamim, and not Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Gemara's Havamina, Rabbi Yehuda might have even denied it from Esrog. Right? Right? Remember, that was the Gemara's Havamina, which rejected. Right? That's how Tosfos reads this Gemara. It's a very nice read of the Gemara, right? It's very lumdish. It's very, and very smooth. Who is almost not understandable at all? Rashi! Right, remember, I just read Tosfos said Rashi's wrong. Because Rashi equates Hadar with run of the mill, Hidur Mitzvah. Good, defend Rashi for me. Explain Rashi. Defend Rashi.
But he just thinks it's quantitative
versus actual. Come on. Come on, help me. Defend Rashi. How can Rashi say that the beauty of Lulav and Esrog comes from Hidur Mitzvah and yet it is Ma'akev?
That's an even go.
Yeah, but that's not Ma'akev. How can it be Ma'akev? Yes.
Because the Pasuk says we need Hadar.
Yeah, and therefore Rabbi Huda says, so Tosha says, therefore this quality of non-dryness and non-whatever is Ma'akev, and we call it what? Hadar, not Ze'ili van Ve'uidr. It's a unique Hadar, it's a ruled Arba Minim. How can Rashi say that the rule that you can't have a dry lulav of an Esrog comes from run of the mill Hidur and then turn around and tell me it's Ma'akev?
Was I on the right track?
Yes, but what? Tell me. Good. So push it. Come on. It's right? Defend Rashi. Defend Rashi for me. Come on.
I'd rather defend...
You can't.
Tosfos is easy. Good. Now defend Rashi.
You can't.
Defend him. Don't attack him. Defend him.
Is he just talking about that Havamina?
No. Give me a... Give me,
how it says it's definitional, but the Ma'akev.
Okay. So let's... Right, let's tease this out. Maybe, what does he think? I've been positing, and Tosfos posits, that what? That Hadar is one rule, and Hidur Mitzvah is a different rule. Right? And all the rules of beauty by Lulav and Esrog are localized. You need to live in Esrog. Have nothing to do with the Chiyuv of beauty and Mitzvahs in general. But have you noticed how confusing it has been for me to give this shir? It's only Hadar. I mean, it's only Hidur. I mean, it's only Hadar. I mean, it's... Right? Meaning, if I had asked a balabas on the street who never learned the sugya, and I asked you, is there a relationship between pre-Eitz Hadar and Hidur Mitzvah, what would they have said?
Yes.
Yes, why would they have said yes?
The same thing.
Because it literally is the same word. Right? It's only because we went through the sugya that now we're convinced that they're different. Right? Right? But...
It's not the same thing. We should
But so that what Tosfos says, but Rashi doesn't say it. Rashi says it is.
So you're saying Rashi didn't go through the...
No. So maybe what does Rashi think? Maybe Rashi that's thinks something thing. Very conceptually nuanced, which is this is Hidur Mitzvah. Hadar is not different from Hidur Mitzvah. What's the difference?
How you do it?
No. That because Esrog is described as Hadar, that which is not Ma'akev in other mitzvos is Ma'akev in Esrog. Meaning, but I want to sharpen it. Meaning, he's saying it's not that Hidur is fundamentally different than Hadar. Hadar doesn't come and say there's Hidur Mitzvah and then there's Hadar. What does it come and do? It says...
It says, this is...
Because... Correct. The lulav and Esrog, or maybe just Esrog, our beauty is so important to it that That which in every other mitzvah is only lechatchila is ma'akev, but fundamentally,
it's still the same.
It's the same thing. Meaning, that same quality of all mitzvah that you should do them in a beautiful way. Meaning, he says, yes, it's ma'akev, but at a conceptual level, this isn't unique to lulav or esrog. All mitzvahs have to be beautiful. The reason it's ma'akev is that hadar doesn't come and say there's a new quality called hadar. It tells you that by esrog, that which in every other mitzvah is not ma'akev is essential in esrog, because beauty is part of the essential picture and even definition of esrog. Right? There's tzvei dinim. There's right now ki'ilu. Right, sort of. I would push Rashi a little bit more, and I would say it's almost as if what Rashi is saying, at let's say a philosophical level, is that once a year, right, we have a mitzvah which is hider mitzvah la ikuva, and what does that do? Right, at a philosophical level, that sets the tone for the rest of the year, because once a year we say you must do this mitzvah. Now I'm staying with this because it's conceptually hard, right? Right, and then get your tea, right? What it might he be saying is what? Maybe what he's saying is, look, once a year, God gives us a mitzvah, and He forces us to do it in a beautiful way. And what does that then educationally set us up for?
The rest of mitzvahs, though.
To know how in other mitzvahs you should do them. Now, in other mitzvahs, it's not as extreme. It's not ma'akev, but esrog is the paradigm which sheds light on.
Yes.
Everything else, it's just the most intense expression of hiddur, because it happens to be defined as the pre-Eitz Hadar. But fundamentally, the principle isn't unique. It's just a more intense expression of it. Right? But it's an intense expression of the same rule that exists in all mitzvahs. Now, according to Rashi, what does Rashi clearly think? Is Hadar definitional or a quality?
Definitional.
No!
Quality.
Who cares? It's a quality, right? Because it's a quality that's not only shared with lulav, what is it shared with?
All
mitzvot. Meaning, hadar is just another way of saying hidr mitzvah, which is shared with all mitzvot, most mitzvot, not li'ikuvah, and uniquely in lulav and esro,
it's
li'ikuvah. But is it a quality or is it definitional? Clearly, it's a quality, because not only is it shared with lulav, right? We said it's a quality when shared with lulav. According to him, it's shared with everything, right? It's shared with everything. And that's how I would understand now, if now, it is possible that once you view this as just an intensification of Hidur, then it's possible to understand the Shasat Chaksug, and this Artosus suggests as possibility that if there were no beautiful Esrog or Lulav, would you be allowed to make a Brachan Shasat Chak? Maybe. Why? Because if it's definitional, then without that quality, is it a Lulav or Esrog?
No.
But if you think that it's an essential quality, but it's fundamentally similar in form to Hidra Mitzvah, so what's...
Except that we say that here it's ma'akev.
Good. But there's one little possibility, there's one opening, which is the mashal to Hidra Mitzvah might help us, because is Hidra Mitzvah objective?
No.
What might it be? Contextual. Yeah. Subjective or contextual, meaning... If you're a millionaire, right, and you get a Kiddush cup that's worth $5, is that Hidur Mitzvah?
No.
If you have $5 to your name and you get a $5 Kiddush cup rather than a 50-cent one, is that Hidur?
Yes.
Right? Meaning, yes, it's definitional to Esrog, but once you understand that this might not be definitional in the way, and Esrog is a citrus fruit, right, but definitional in the way that it's essential, but it's essential to beautify it, then it's possible that it's essential, but also, what? Contextual. Meaning that if there are non-dry esrogim around, are you allowed to use a non-one, even b'dieved?
You mean a non-one?
No, because
there are other ones.
it's essential to be beautiful. But what if there are no beautiful ones? So then, is it possible you'd be Yotze? Yes, why? It's definitional. No, it's not definitional, it's essential. But it's also contextual. And if there's nothing more beautiful, then is this beautiful?
Yeah. Doesn't make it beautiful, it just...
It makes it contextual, meaning this is why it tells us a possibility. It might be Yotze because it might be that the fact that it's essential, but what is the essential? That it be beautiful, and beauty is, by definitional...
Relative.
Then it might be that there's nothing more beautiful than even though it's essential, when there's nothing else, it's Yotze, right? That's the very complicated lumdos that Tosos introduces, right? That it's possible that that's how you understand the Shas of Chak, so yeah.
Is that how you...
It's possible. I don't want to get into the whole Shas of Chak because there's many other positions. I have one more Rishon here, the Ritva. The Ritva has yet a different explanation, not like Rashi, not like Tosos. And he says the following. Tana Yaveis Pasul Amar Rava Machloket Belula. The Rabbanan Sarvi Machin Lulav Esar. Rabbi Yudas Arlo Machin Perish. The Af Algav De Kulo Minin Gomri Mehadade. The Hader Akule Minin Ikal Midrase. He says something different. He says, no, maybe. Why does the Chachamim hold that Hader applies to Lulav? Maybe, he says, you're wrong. We read the Gemara the way Tosafot did, which was that Hadar is a quality that's shared by Lulav. He says, wrong. Maybe, what do the Chacham hold? Pre-Eitz Hadar is a colon. Pre-Eitz Hadar, V'anaf Eitz Avot Hadar, V'kapot Marim Hadar, V'arvei Nachal Hadar. Meaning, this is not a shared quality. What is it?
It's
a definition of all four. Right? Meaning the Ritva raises the possibility that maybe we're wrong. Maybe there's no quality at all. There's only a definition. There's an Esrog, which is just Hadar. And then there are three other things, which are Kapot Marim Hadar, Anfei Tavod Hadar, or Arvei Nachal Hadar. And therefore, this isn't a definition. And that's why it's so important. And Rabbi Yehuda said, to Lo Shayach Hadar Ella, Be'esrog Shupri. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Hadar doesn't describe all four. It only describes... Good. But so he says maybe this isn't about sharing a quality, it's about sharing a definition. Right? Which is an even more radical way of reading this Gemara. Okay. Now I want to go a little lumdus, a little machshava for you. Right? Turn to the next page. In general, Hadar almost always, there's a big machlokas which I didn't give you in the Rishonim. Whether Hadar Hidr Mitzvah applies only in the Chefta Shah Mitzvah or also in the Maisa Mitzvah. Right? Now, why would you say it only applies in the Chefta Shah Mitzvah? Because all the examples are Chefta Shah Mitzvah. How could something be Hadar in... What would it mean for something to be Hadar in a Maisa Mitzvah? It's hard to say, right? Like, what would that mean?
You shake it in a beautiful way.
Good. Unless you think that Hadar in the Chefza, why is there a Chiyuv of Hidar in a Chefza, rather?
To affect the Maisa.
To reflect the Maisa HaGavra, right? Now I'm being as brisker as I've ever been, right? I never use these terminologies, right? Never. Good. But there's actually an inherent logic to what I just said. Not only put it in not brisker lingo, right? Maybe, why are you obligated to put... One way of formulating Hidr Mitzvah is that the Chefza Shal Mitzvah needs to be beautiful because the Chefza Shal Mitzvah needs to be beautiful. But what's another way of conceptualizing it? Why does the Chefza Shal Mitzvah need to be beautiful?
Because the Maisa Mitzvah needs to be beautiful.
Because...
It reflects the
person needs to show effort. And how do you show effort? By getting a Chefza Shal Mitzvah, which is beautiful. Which means that even... When you have a beautiful Chefza Shal Mitzvah, what's really going on? It's a din in the...
Maisa.
Not really the Maisa, din in the Gavra. Right? Meaning, it shows effort on behalf of the person.
Right.
Who holds that? Rashi. Rashi is an amazing shita, where he says, in the context, in the Gemara and Yoma, now we get a little bit of... Here, we get a little bit of Yom Kippur, a little bit of Sukkah, this is why I did it. We get a little bit of Yom Kippur, a little bit of Sukkah, and a little bit of Menachotim. Okay? At the end of the day in Yom Kippur, what does the Kohen Gadol do? After he finished all the Avodah, he goes and he takes the Sefer Torah and he brings it to the Azara and he reads the Sefer Torah. as if to say, everything in the psukim I did. I'm Yoytze Sign, people. Listen, I'm reading the psukim. You hear everything? Check, 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 check. Great. And the Gemara says, the v'achar kaf kol echad v'echad maybe sefer Torah mibeito v'karebo kedi laharot chazuto l'rabbi. The Gemara says that, well, you know what people did? Everyone brought those private sefer Torah from their house, and they would parade them into the Beis HaMikdash and stand there as the Kohen Gadol read from his Torah. Okay? To beautify it, right? Laharot chazuto l'rabbi, right? To make a scene. Right? I mean, you can imagine, this is an overwhelmingly beautiful scene, right? Everyone comes out parading their Sefer Torah to meet the Kohen Gadol as he reads the Torah. Okay? It's like Simchas Torah. Rashi says, read Rashi, 14.
Laharos, Naviv Shel Sefer Torah.
No Yer Shel Sefer Torah. To show the beauty of the Sefer Torah, which is Hidur Mitzvah in the
Torah.
Chefza, right, in the object of the Torah. But then Rashi adds something. It says, Baaleha.
Baaleha shetarech lihis na'os b'mitzvah.
And it is the glory of
mitzvah.
The people. Shetarech lihit na'os b'mitzvah. They put in the effort to beautify the mitzvah. What does Rashi say?
So
it looks like Hidr Mitzvah is a din in the Chefza, but it's not true.
It's a Mitzvah.
Right? The making the Chefza Shal Mitzvah beautiful is only a Hechipimtza, or in English, a means to an end. Meaning, Hidr Mitzvah really isn't a din in the object. Making beautiful objects is a means by which we show that the person cares about the Mitzvah. But it's really a din in the Gavra. It's a din in the person that he is mehader the mitzvah. Right? It's really a din in the gavra, which is both a beautiful lumdish point and a beautiful philosophical point. Right? Now, last point, and then you can just take a break, okay? We'll just finish. We've seen Rashi's position that the hidr makes mitzvah in Esrog is definitional. Right? Now, I said that it's possible that there's one other mitzvah like this, which is not nearly as mukhrach as Esrog, but there's another possible mitzvah that's like this. And that is Ksivas
Torah.
Sefer Torah. And here's the diok that Rabbi Yisraeli makes, which I'm not convinced of, but I want to show you why he says it. You can take it or leave it. 15. This is the Gemara we already saw. Look at the Gemara carefully. When the king writes the Sefer Torah, it says, "V'kosev Sefer Torah l'shmo, Tana." What is the king not allowed to do? Get it from his parents. But what's the lashon of the Gemara?
Shol yitna'eh
b'shel avotav. So he says, what does that mean? Lo yitna'eh b'shel avotav.
Pretty.
Yeah, but why use that language? Where does that remind you of? Where is that from? Yeah, where is that lashon from? Hidr mitzvah.
Yeah.
So what does he say? So he argues that maybe what the Gemara is telling you is that really you should be able to be Yotzei with an inherited Sefer Torah, but you can't because is it Mehudar to do that? No. And maybe just like by Esrog, Hidr mitzvah is definitional or essential. By Sefer Torah it is. And therefore, you should be Yotzei, but why aren't you? Because you didn't do it behiduro, and even though normally not doing something behiduro mitzvah is not ma'akev, by Esrog it's ma'akev, and maybe by Sefer Torah it's ma'akev, right? And now let me give you his very complicated analysis, which I'm not sure I'm convinced of, but let me give it to you, okay? Now, his second right is the Rashi that we just read. The Rashi says that bringing your personal Sefer Torah to join the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. What language does he use again? That same language of lihitna'ot b'mitzvah. Right? Right? But here's his very radical diyuk. He says the following. Remember, go back, we'll do Chazara at the beginning. According to the Rama, according to Rashi, are you Yotzei if you buy a Sefer Torah?
Yes.
Yes. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, kilu, right, kilu chatav mitzvah menashuk?
Because you're not
doing Heder Mitzvah.
Good. The Rambam paskins that are you Yotze if you buy a Sefer Torah?
Yes.
No. He says you're not Yotze. And what is the Taz? And what does everyone ask? Why did you ignore Rashi? Why did you ignore Rashi? So he says the following. He says maybe he understands Rashi as meaning, maybe he understood Rashi differently. Not that you're Yotze, but it's not Hiddur, but because it's not Hiddur,
you're not
Yotze, because Hiddur by Sefer Torah is definition is essential, just like Esrog. And therefore, what is he saying? Kechotev mitzvah ben ashuk, and therefore you're not Yotze, unless... Right, and therefore he says, but now coming back to our other point, then why does Rashi say you're not Yotze? Right, if he meant you're not Yotze, then why wouldn't you say not Yotze? Why would he say, it's not the best mitzvah? So what's the answer? That maybe Rashi thinks, again, this is a big chiddush, but it's what we said by Tosfos and Lulav, which is maybe it's essential, but it's also
definition.
Also
quality.
Also relative. Meaning, when you say that it's essential, but it's essential because it's beautiful, then it's also relative. And therefore, what might Rashi be saying? It's Yush Chiddush. That if there's no one around to write the Sefer Torah, and you don't know how to write a Sefer Torah, and you buy a Sefer Torah, are you Yotze?
Yes.
Because... there's a chiyuv, there's a ma'atev chiyuv of hiddur by Sefer Torah.
And to you, that's the most hiddur.
And if that's the most hiddur you can do, you're Yotze. But if there's someone around to write it for you and then you buy,
then it's not
hiddur, and since it's Sefer Torah, it's ma'akev. Because it's essential, but it's relative. And therefore, the way Rabbi Yisraeli suggests that the Ramah read Rashi was that it's a chiyuv of hiddur, which is essential but relative, and therefore, just like Tosfos suggests that hadar is essential by lulav, but if there's nothing else, you're yotze because it's relative. If there's nothing else in a chama, you're yotze. But if you had the possibility of having someone write for you, because you lacked hiddur, and by sefer Torah it's essential and not just a regular run of the mill hiddur, you're not yotze. That's a huge, huge chiddush. But that's the way Israeli understands sefer Torah, and I argued at the beginning, if you remember, when I mentioned this quickly, that whether or not if he's right, this might explain why there are so many ma'akev chiyuvim by Sefer Torah, which are really just ways of making the Sefer Torah beautiful. Right? Not too big, not too small, right? I mean, all those things are clearly meant to make the Sefer Torah beautiful, but they're also ma'akev. And according to the Israeli, it makes sense, because maybe Hidra Mitzvah of a Sefer Torah is not just an added quality like it is everywhere else, it's an essential quality similar to the way Rashi understands Lula, right, Hidur in Esrog, which is really just every other Hidra Mitzvah, but Ma'akev, because of the context of Esrog, requires a higher standard. Okay? That's his Kiddush. I'm not sure I buy it, but, this was a little bit of Yoma, a little bit of Menachot, a little bit of Sukkah, so I figured, it might as well present his Kiddush, which gets a little bit of everything that's coming up or that we've been doing. Shkoyach on a good zman.